are in a City for You podcast. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for being open to be part of my podcast. It's very nice to talk to you after having seen your thesis work as well. I should mention that, I think, I feel.
No, thank you for having me, and thank you for coming to see the my installation. It's been it's always fun having new people, and especially people I don't know as well, come and see it.
Yeah, and I think here we could mention the fact that now it was Luis who mentioned us to each other, but also we've met at the Nobel Week Lights.
Yes.
At the installation.
Yes, yeah, when I was walking around and I saw someone switching things in the cold, and I was like, wonder what they're up to.
Yeah. Why is she doing this?
Yeah.
Introduce yourself in the beginning, and then I'll start asking you the questions.
Okay. My name is Seth Margolis. I'm a now lighting designer and pseudo light artist. I worked for the past 10 years in New York as a gaffer for film and television, but mainly commercials, which is the sort of lighting designer for that, or like any just head of electricity. And then moved to Sweden 10 months ago, and I'm just working on my thesis and looking for my first job in architectural lighting design or art, whichever.
Yeah. Good that you mentioned that. I think it's a good moment to be open with that. Yes. Okay, then we go to the first question, and I will know more about you through the questions.
First, okay.
What is a city for you?
So this is, like we just spoke about, I did my homework, I listened to a couple episodes, and so I was thinking about this question a lot, and it's an interesting thing, because at first I was thinking about people, and you know, just more strictly population size, but then I was like, well, no, because there are, like in China, there's like fully ghost cities that have been built, and or like there's Michael Hosier's project in the desert of Nevada, which is called City, but it's a huge sculpture, but there's no people there outside the people building it. So what I think I've come to, and I try not to work in definitives. I think I, you know, if you ask me a week from now, I might have a different answer. A city has become, I think in my mind, is a focal point of clutter. And that's both good and bad, but it's can be a clutter of people, buildings, cars, ideas. But it's really just like a place where there's a lot of information all gathered around, and it's might be organized, might not be, but it's just a lot of things.
Interesting. I never heard of a clutter as a word that would describe it. That's interesting perspective. Which other cities have you lived in before, and has it always been a clutter where you have been living?
I lived in New York City before this. That's definitely clutter. It's still it's a grid system, at least in Manhattan. And you know, so it's like a very organized clutter, an organized sort of chaos, but it's still like there's just constant information. And then before that, I was outside of Seattle in Washington, and that's still, I was not in the city itself, but yeah, I think it's, any of these things, I think, even Stockholm, which for me is like a relatively calm area and kind of small, is like, it's still like clutter, and there's more points like maybe like near Kungsträdgården where like, you know, there's definitely a large there's more clutter of people than other areas, but it's Yeah, but it's I don't know. I was trying to think of a better word than clutter,
because I like this
clutter
word.
It has a negative connotation, mm-hmm. and I don't see it as a negative. I love mm-hmm. cities. Yeah. I think parts of it are negatives, but I think there's also a lot of positives out of it.
You specify that it's not a bad or good thing. So
mm-hmm.
if people hear something negative in it, they can try to rethink it if they wish to. The next question is, what are you for the city?
Primarily, I just see myself as an observer. I think like I like to walk around cities a lot. That's sort of the first thing I usually do whenever I travel somewhere, or even when I'm living somewhere, and it's that's what I do to sort of just clear my mind. And so I just walk around, and sometimes I'm listening to music, but I'm trying to get away from that to be more present in the information that's around me in that clutter. But I mean, in some ways, I think everybody is an active, you are in some way an active participant, but I see myself, mainly wandering and observing without sort of disturbing in any way.
Mm-hmm. But then you also, I think, see yourself as an artist, at least that's what you say you might work with in the future and have worked with. Mm-hmm. Do you think when you do that, you are still being just an observer and not influencing or like disturbing what's happening?
I think at least at the moment, I'm not actively creating any sort of public art, it's a fine line to toe with calling myself an artist in the first place, because it's, I think I have artistic tendencies, and I love to create things, but in terms of like affecting the general surroundings, the art that I've done so far does not necessarily do that, or does not do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, maybe in the next question you can talk about your thesis if you wish to. So let's go to the third one, which might be the biggest one also, because I know you are studying lighting design.
Mm-hmm.
So how does artificial lighting of a night city affect you?
When you first asked, my immediate thought was back to when I first moved to Stockholm. Mm-hmm. And I think going back to this idea of clutter, like one thing that New York certainly has more of is light clutter and sound clutter. And so I remember when you asked that question, my immediate thought was when I first moved here and I was having trouble actually getting to sleep because mm-hmm. it was so quiet and it mm-hmm. was so dark. And now it doesn't feel that way at all. I mean, it still feels quiet, but that doesn't bug me anymore. Whereas like when I first moved, it was like, why are there no people around?
Uh-huh.
But then in general for the cities, I think it's, I like to find maybe not necessarily dark areas, but I find myself very drawn to rhythms created by lighting, and so I really enjoy a lot of times I try not to analyze it, being a light person in general. I try to sometimes turn my mind away from the lighting and just sort of enjoy without thinking about like maybe why I like something. I really like when the lighting creates a rhythm to the evening, or to the to the area and the space.
Is there an example that you can give?
Yeah, I think here in Stockholm, Kungsträdgården, the streetlights there. I remember again when I was first here and or first got to Stockholm, and I was riding on some scooters with some friends, and we were going through there as, and it was the first time I had seen them on at night, because before when I had passed through, they were, it was daytime. And I just remember scootering down that long stretch and being like, oh, this is like very nice both to go through and also to look at down the way. Yeah,
interesting that you mentioned that one. Did you have tour during your studies in that area?
With Kai.
We had it as well.
Was
it after you experienced that?
So I experienced that in before class actually started, back in August. I've been here 2 or 3 weeks, but I got here like a month before the study started.
Because for us, we had that tour before those lights were switched on for the first time. Because they're quite new.
Yeah.
You can exactly see those like last December-ish. So we were, I was first told about it, about the project, why it is there, blah, blah, blah. And then I think the next day they were switched on for the first time, something like this.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Which I think impacted the way I experienced it. So I was seeing something else in it. And then also hearing other people commenting on it made it even more like something else.
Yeah, very different perspective. I didn't realize they were that new.
Let me give you the space to respond to the question that Rodrigo said.
Okay.
To a person, and it's quite curious that you know each other.
Yes.
As a planner, as a designer, or as a citizen, what would be the emotional aspect that a city should promote or avoid? And is there feeling creative? How?
Few things that come to mind. One is just, I think, what makes cities so interesting to begin with, and what they should sort of have, this being able to feel like you belong. So like belonging is, I think, you can, in a city, I feel as though you can generally find your community. And so that's, I think, something that a city should definitely promote, is sort of this this diversity. But I think, and I don't know if this is like an emotional aspect, but I know it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, in terms of here in Stockholm versus New York, which I wish Stockholm had more of. But I think it's a very fun and good part of a city, which is weirdness. I think if a city can promote weirdness, it not only opens up that diversity and that sense of belonging, but it just provides for a more fun place. Like there's, I think Stockholm actually is fairly lacking in weirdness, whereas like in New York, it's almost the opposite, where I feel like that term doesn't even necessarily exist because everyone's so weird that you're like, that it's just like, oh, okay. And you just point, or you might like notice someone doing something unusual, but then you're just like, yep, another day. Whereas, so I don't know how you promote that sort of ideology, and
behavior.
Yeah, that how you promote that sort of behavior, and I don't know if it's really an emotional aspect. One of the things, going back to sort of talking about art a little bit is like I don't believe in good or great art. I just don't think that's really a concept that exists. Mm-hmm. I do believe in bad art, but I think that's just more me being a jerk. Yeah, I don't believe that good or great art exists because it is based on the experience of who views it. So there's, you know, I know plenty of people who don't like contemporary art. They don't understand it, or it just doesn't do anything for them. And I get that, but it does, you know, there's things that like that do a lot for me. Like the one that I always go back to is Yves Klein's Monochrome Blue, which is, it hangs up in the MoMA, but it's just a blue canvas. And I understand why people don't feel anything towards it, and they're like, what is this? But at the same time, every time I've been to the MoMA in the past 5 years, I stay there for at least 10, 15 minutes and just look at it. So in the same way, like weird in the city changes for everybody, but it's that, I don't know, it feels like almost an intangible characteristic. But it's very, I find it very fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what you mentioned in the beginning when answering to this question with the feeling of belonging, it could be also in a way linked to how much people feel safe to express themselves and maybe be a bit weird if they feel like they belong, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I think it really does, because there's also, if you have this like overarching sense of weirdness, you also like, there's sort of this almost anonymity that comes along with it within the city, where it's like, well, then if this person can be like this way and sort of just like live their life and go unnoticed, then I can be this way and it's also going to go by unnoticed. And so you, if you can feel that comfort in just being, doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know how to promote that. I'm a questions man, not an answers man.
And it's still good to set new questions. I think it's a nice way of approaching that particular question, at least. There's no one solution to that, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will be setting the question, because you are the questions man, and I'll be writing it down.
Okay.
So ask a question to the next person who will be on my podcast.
Okay, I think I have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what presence or awareness to information or surrounding do you think people should be more conscious of in a city, and why? What came to mind for that question is just, as you mentioned, you just saw my thesis, and it's, I've also been reading a lot and been very inspired by Robert Irwin recently, and it's I think my thesis in some ways is just looking at, not trying to force, but just by removing stimuli, trying to really make you focus on a specific sense of, not one, but on a specific, on a more limited sense of just being in a space. And so I think I mentioned earlier, like I'm trying to listen to less music when I walk around, because I want to be I'm trying to become more aware of the sort of the information that we unavoidably sop up as we travel throughout a city. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know I don't know if there is like a thing that I think people should be more aware of, but just I've been really sort of focused on on the idea of just being aware and present, and the idea of presence in general, and then really then like why does that even matter?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it does, but I just don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Thank you for elaborating on it as well.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you for this conversation. It's really nice to talk with you about the city and in a very open way, let's say.
No, thank you for having me. This was very fun.
Yeah, and good luck with your thesis and the future work as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being part of A City for You. If you want to carry on the discussion, feel free to join for the next episode that will be coming out next Thursday. You can also follow the project on Instagram, Facebook, and Telegram. Enjoy A City for You.